Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Let me ask you a question. What will you do when trouble comes? It's not a question of if, but when. At some point, everyone faces grief, pain, broken relationships, sin, or persecution. What hope do we have? Sharing honestly from his own life and looking at stories of men and women in the Bible who experienced many kinds of trouble, Phil Ryken offers hope from the Scriptures aimed at reminding us that we're never alone in our pain. And through hardships and trials, although hardships and trials will come, God is a very present help in time of trouble. That's a little statement that is written on the publisher's website, on crossway.org's website, about a brand new book that has just been released recently. It's called When Trouble Comes. It's written by Dr. Philip Ryken, and he's our guest on the program today. Let me also read to you, though, a news item that came out not that long ago. This was at the beginning of the month. This one is listed as August 6th. And it was published in ChristianPost.com. It says this: Wheaton College President Philip Ryken, on the moment when he thought of taking his life, discussing his new book, When Trouble Comes, Dr. Philip Ryken, president of the Evangelical Higher Education Institution, Wheaton College, shares in a candid interview his experiences during a, quote, a season of deep discouragement, unquote, when he even thought of taking his life, though not in a sustained way. The book published by Crossway is focused on Jesus, Ryken said in a video interview with Justin Taylor, executive vice president of book publishing and book publisher for Crossway. The Wheaton president added that he hasn't done a huge amount of self-disclosure, although he does share his own life struggles to help people understand the gospel. Ryken shares he went through a season of deep discouragement for a number of reasons, including challenges we were facing as a family that brought a lot of distress and grief to me, and some challenges in his work as the college president and ministry relationships. The article then goes on from there, but I just wanted our listening audience to be aware of that, because I mentioned that during the broadcast today. I thought on the website for the book, When Trouble Comes, Johnny Erickson Tada's statement about the book, her endorsement of it, was interesting. In that endorsement, Johnny Erickson Tada talks about just how important this book is and just how the candid part of it is really so important to so many of the people that will read this book. Let me read it to you in her own words. She says this: when trouble comes, most Christians want to escape it or try to deny it or divorce it or medicate to avoid it. We do everything but actually try to live with it. Thankfully, Dr. Ryken takes great pains in this remarkable book to show us how to live gladly and gloriously through our troubles, rather than take us on a detour around our hardships. He serves as our guide through them. If you are finding it hard to welcome trials as friends, this is the book for you. That was, again, Johnny Erickson Tada, founder and CEO of Johnny and Friends International Disability Center. With that, let me go ahead and welcome Dr. Ryken to the program today. A lot of folks are familiar with him and his writing, but he is the eighth president of Wheaton College, formerly served as the senior minister at Philadelphia's historic 10th Presbyterian Church. He has written or edited more than 40 books, including the popular title Loving the Way Jesus Loves, and he has lectured and preached at universities and seminaries worldwide. Dr. Reichem, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always good to be invited back on a program, and it's good to speak with you and with your listeners today.
Well, great. It's great to have you. I know we had a little bit of mix-up on a time frame before, but I appreciate your graciousness on lining up with our Eastern time frame here so that we could do the interview. I wanted to ask you, this story came out in Christian Post, as I mentioned earlier this month, and very candidly, you say there that you went through some a season of deep discouragement, and even in that time, you thought about taking your life, though not in a sustained way. I wanted to ask you, what has been the response then from people now that it's been out there for 3 weeks or so, and you know, many people have picked up on that story. I mentioned it through my preaching in the book of Jonah, as Jonah was going through this type of period in the belly of a whale, by the way. But as he was going through this and he felt that he had been cast out by God and deep and dark times of depression in his life. So I mentioned the comment that you had made here, that this isn't just, the elite people, the people in high positions of Christian leadership are not immune to this. It's something that faces all of us. But what has been the feedback that you've received thus far?
Yeah, so, you know, Kevin, it was a little interesting to see a story about this in Christian Post. I suppose it's always good when you write a book and people are talking about it, and they're certainly entitled to do that. But actually, these are things that I had shared with our campus community a couple of years ago. And so I think in some ways the sort of public response was a lot bigger at that time. But certainly lots and lots of people have reached out, wanted to wanted to get some encouragement in their own struggles, or to say the book has really been helpful. You know, it's interesting you mentioned Jonah, too, because one of the things I do in the book is just talk about a lot of people in the Bible that were in a lot of trouble. And Jonah was one of the ones that I really wanted to do, but actually wasn't able to do in the book. You have to make some hard choices. But he's a great example of somebody who really despaired, and so I do see a connection there. I just think that all kinds of troubles are normal in the Christian life, and seasons of discouragement and despair are ordinary for Christians. I think most people will go through them at one time or another, to one degree or another. So I think the Bible really teaches us that these seasons are not surprising, but actually a normal part of life in a fallen world.
Do you think that many Christians see troubles and trials, suffering, as you talk about here in the book, as being inconsistent almost with the Christian life, that it is, it just is not supposed to be this way? This is an anomaly, and if I'm going through this, then obviously something is wrong. I haven't applied the Word of God rightly in some area, or something is desperately wrong, but this is not supposed to be the norm for the Christian life.
I think it depends a lot on your theology, Kevin. So I think people that understand the reality of sin in a fallen world, at some level, in our theology, we know that trouble is really expected. But I think that subjectively, just in terms of how we think about our lives, we often expect things to go a certain way. And some of the biggest challenges, some of the areas where we have to deal with the most anger and feel the greatest discouragement, are when we are surprised by suffering, because we, at some level, we kind of knew that we could go through a hard time, but what we're going through isn't what we expected. And that gap between expectation and reality can be a big struggle in life. And even if our theology has a healthy dose of reality in it, our expectations of life don't always. And so there can really be a gap, and that can be a struggle for us.
I tell the congregation that the Lord has me pastoring out at Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Traveler's Rest here, just outside of Greenville, South Carolina. I tell them that part of my job description is to prepare them for suffering. Do you find the people of God prepared, well prepared to deal with suffering?
Yeah, you know, I think most of us, when suffering comes, we're not as well prepared as we would like to be, and sometimes the sudden onset of real difficulty, you know, can catch us by surprise. Although having said that, I think many believers have a testimony of, I wasn't expecting this, but I can see some things where God was getting me ready. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to walk through something with someone else, and that prepared me for what I'm facing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just think of a challenge in our own lives, and just as that challenge was beginning, my wife was driving around a corner in kind of stormy weather, and suddenly there was just a huge rainbow in front of her, and it was just a sign to her, you know, God has a plan in this. He's going to watch over you. It's going to be okay. And that was even before, you know, things really unfolded to see the challenges that we would go through. But it was part of God's preparation. So I think many times we do have some testimony that we're able to give where God was getting us ready, even if we weren't trying to be ready. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I think is just really important. I think the thing that helps us the most, Kevin, when we go through trouble mm-hmm. is prayer and the ministry of God's word.
Amen.
And so a believer who is communing with God through prayer, who is faithful in worship, who is spending time with God through his word and hearing his voice in that way, if you're doing those things, you will always be prepared at some level for everything you face, because that's the place where God really does his work.
Hmm. A while back, I preached through Psalm 119, and I did so because we wanted to focus on the sufficiency of God's word. I was saying that, you know, in our creeds and our confessions and so forth, we all talk about the inspiration of God's word, and we check off, obviously, that we believe that. But do we actually believe the word of God is sufficient for the issues that we face in this life, to enable us to go through them joyously and victoriously for the glory of God? And so we spent time looking at those 176 verses, and we noted as we went through that 174 of them make a reference to the Word of God. So the sufficiency of the Word of God is crucial to going through these struggles, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you get to the end of that psalm, Kevin, and the psalmist's testimony is that he had gone astray like a lost sheep.
Mm.
But he also testifies there that he has not forgotten God's commandments. And one of the reasons he knows he's in trouble, one of the reasons he knows that he's astray, is because he knows God's word. So actually, God's word is part of what has helped him see his situation for what it is. So that's just one, you know, that's just one example. That's, I think, bedrock for everything in the Christian life, the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about the Word of God and David in that psalm, you bring out David in your book and David's deadly temptation that, you know, thou art the man, when he was confronted by Samuel and so forth. But speaking of the Word of God, then, when we open up our Bibles, we find that there are people all over the scriptures that went through extremely deep and dark times in their life. Isaiah's sin and guilt, you write about, Elijah, Ruth, David, Jeremiah, Mary with Mary's troubled soul, and so forth. And so it's just replete throughout the scriptures, the people of God go through times of suffering. Talk to us a little bit about a couple of these characters that you mentioned here in the book, and give us a little flavor of what you write about those characters.
So one of the things I wanted to do, Kevin, was really touch on as wide a variety of kinds of trouble that people face. Some of the troubles we face, really, it's coming from our own sin. We've got us into the situation we're in. Some of the troubles we face are because of things that other people do. So we're sinned against. But, you know, whether it's the death of a spouse, or whether it's extreme poverty, or whether it's temptation, or the trouble that comes when we're guilty of sin, or whether it's persecution. I mean, there's just all kinds of trouble. And one of the things that was really difficult, honestly, was deciding which stories to tell in this book. And I tell about 10 stories of people in the Bible who were in trouble. But I wanted to touch on the varieties of kinds of trouble. You know, Ruth is a great example because she experienced the death of a spouse. She had to leave her own country for a far place. She had no regular means of provision. I mean, she was living hand to mouth. She knew what it was like to be homeless. I mean, some of the most acute sufferings and difficulties that people face in the world today, you know, are explored in the story of Ruth and Naomi, which also turns out to be a story of abundant blessing, because Ruth really turned to God in her time of in her time of trouble. But what I found very compelling was asking the question, what did these people do when they were in trouble, and what did God do for them when they were in trouble, more fundamentally, as a way of, you know, figuring out, okay, what should we do when we're in trouble, and what help does God have for us? What encouragement can we draw from the help that he has given to his people in all kinds of situations?
I had pointed out a couple weeks ago in a sermon the different reasons why trouble really wears on people and the suffering and so forth. And I said, just from memory, I'm recalling this, but that one of the things is the different kinds of trouble that comes in people's life, and sometimes the continuance of trouble in someone's life. Some people seem to suffer their entire life. Sometimes it's, you know, the variety, as I mentioned, the different kinds coming there. Sometimes it's the suddenness, as you talked about, and so forth. And so all these different ways in which trouble can come into somebody's life, it sure would be good to be prepared ahead of time, because when it comes this way, especially the ones that come without any warning ahead of time, it can really knock people for a loop. Do you find that happening in the Word of God as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a good example of that would be Elijah, I think, because Elijah's time of real discouragement and really hoping that the Lord would end his life, that came right after a season of very fruitful, effective ministry, where he had really seen people turn back to God and had gained a victory over people who had been spiritual enemies of his. So you would think, you know, Elijah was getting ready for a happy retirement, or, you know, that it was just going to be one positive thing after another. And yet it was actually at that time, after that very fruitful time, and maybe because of just the normal cycles of human emotions, you can't stay at the high point indefinitely. You know, so he's certainly an example of how suddenly a trial may come. But you're right, and you know, my heart really goes out to anyone who's had the experience of there's one trouble, and then there's another trouble after that, and then there's something after that, and you begin to wonder if God is really against you, when your troubles will end. And although it's true that all of us face troubles in life, and in fact Jesus said to his disciples, you know, just so you know, in this life you will have trouble. Those troubles are not apportioned equally, and some people do go through greater trials, and therefore it's a greater test of faith, possibly a greater opportunity to display God's grace and goodness in the face of suffering. But none of that, even if you're aware of that, none of it makes it easy.
I think, was it Jacob that said, all of these things are against me, you know, when he started to, some additional trouble came into his life, you know, he just felt, man, everything is not going my way. We talk about some of the individuals in the scriptures, fellow believers and so forth, but you also write in John chapter 12, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Now my soul is troubled." The Greeks come to him. I think Philip and Andrew bring the Greeks to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it triggers in him a response. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour," and so forth. And so here we see the Son of God himself, the incarnate Son of God, talking about his soul being troubled. What an encouragement there, I guess, when we go through suffering to see that even he was impacted by this.
You know, all of the stories that we've mentioned just very briefly, Kevin, you know, Ruth and Elijah and David and Mary and other stories that are touched on in the book. I mean, all of those are pointing us to Christ, to his sufferings, death, resurrection. That's something I always want to draw out, whatever passage of the Bible I'm in. But I think it's also very compelling to see Jesus from the perspective of his experience of trouble.
Mm.
You know, the Bible describes him as a man of sorrows, acquainted with suffering, and he uses, you know, the word trouble, depending on how you translate different passages. That's a word that he uses to describe his own experience. And what I find just so helpful in John chapter 12 is that Jesus really asks the question that we want to ask usually, which is, Lord, isn't there a different way? Isn't there a way out of this trouble? And what we really want is for our troubles to be over.
Mm.
And Jesus wrestles with that, and he, you know, prays about that to the Father. But it's really clear to him that the Father's purpose for him is not to deliver him from trouble right away, but actually for him to go through the greatest suffering and trouble of all in the crucifixion, and only then would Jesus see the glory that the Father had for him. And it's it's just an amazing example for us, and not just an example that comes with the strength of Christ himself through the Holy Spirit, of really surrendering to God and asking for God's purposes to be done in the circumstances of our lives, rather than to, you know, just keep insisting that we're not going to be happy and we're not going to be content and we're not going to be trusting unless God does things the way that we want him to do them. But here is Jesus going through great trouble in his soul and surrendering fully to the Father's purpose for him.
Mm, amen. You know, as we think about suffering, it would help if we keep in mind the idea of the providence of the Lord, that these things didn't just come upon us by happenstance. And in that sense, they don't need to be reconciled with the goodness of God, but he is using these things in order to mold us and shape us into the image of his Son. I remember C.H. Spurgeon talking about the refiner's fire, where this fire that we go through in trials and troubles is used by God in order to burn away the dross. And then he said this. He said, "The refiner is never very far from the mouth of the furnace when his gold is in the fire," as only Spurgeon can say, of course. And I thought, well, that is so comforting to know that, this isn't just busy work. It isn't just, you know, some meaningless thing that I'm going through. But there's a purpose in this. And so we don't need to reconcile these two friends together. They're used of God, these two things being the suffering that we're going through and a loving God of heaven who's our Heavenly Father. But these two things are, it's used of God as part of his purpose in our life, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that metaphor from Spurgeon. If I did, I probably would have used it in the book, honestly, because I do think we know that God has a purpose for us in our suffering. We don't always know what that purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can drive yourself a little bit crazy trying to figure that out, and certainly you can drive other people crazy by telling them what you think God's purpose for them is.
Right.
I think a lot of times we see that a little better after the fact, and usually God is doing more than one thing. He may be doing many things, and he's not just doing it in our lives, he's doing it in the lives of other people. But having this thought that because we are precious to God and because our sufferings are precious in his sight, he is very close and keeping a very close eye on things. And even if we don't understand all of his purposes, I think we can still believe that he has a good purpose.
Yes.
So that's an encouraging image.
There's a little verse in tucked away in the Gospels where Jesus says this: "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou wilt know hereafter." And I just take comfort in that. Yeah, I don't know, and I don't pretend to know. I may know one, you know, small element of some good that came out of the suffering, and I can point to that. But he's under no obligation, as you pointed out, to tell us why he's doing this. All we can do and what we should do is not like that's the last resort, but is trust in him. We may not know the ultimate outcome, but we know the one who is in charge, and the God of all the earth will do right. And someday, when we're in glory with him, it'll all become crystal clear and apparent to us why the Lord decided to do things that way. Dr. Ryken, thank you so much. Thank you so much for a couple things. Thanks so much for writing this book. I had let a friend who was going through a lot of trouble read through the book to give me some comments about it. And her first comment was this. She said, "This man understands what I'm going through." And she's going through deep and deep times of trouble and so forth in her life. And so praise the Lord. Thank you for writing the book. Thank you for coming on the program today. I know you got a very busy schedule, but for coming on to talk through some of these points in the book today, we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, the privilege is mine.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. It was Dr. Philip Ryken. As I mentioned, he is the eighth president of Wheaton College. And he's also was formerly served as a senior minister of Philadelphia's historic 10th Presbyterian Church. The book is called When Trouble Comes. When Trouble Comes, it's published by Crossway. That's www.crossway.org. You can go out to their website in order to see how you can get a copy of this book. It's got a few really good endorsements there from Paul David Tripp. I also read one to you by Johnny Erickson Tada, who, as you know, is well acquainted with suffering herself, and she really endorses the book.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.